And now get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Vic and Save, written by Paul Reimer. Yes, it's time again for Vic and Save, brought to you by Procter & Gamble, the makers of pure all-vegetable Crisco. But before we stop by the Gooks, let's switch over to the famous Crisco kitchen, where we'll find Ed Roberts probably standing right by the stove.
Nope, I'm just sitting at the kitchen table this morning, folks, but, well, without even getting up, I can see corn fritters sizzling away in Crisco on top of the stove. Hear that sizzling sound? Oh, it makes you hungry, doesn't it? By golly, if that kettle of piping hot Crisco could talk, you'd hear about some good food. Donuts, crispy French fried potatoes, scallops that have been deep fried to a tempting golden brown, and now corn fritters all fried in the very same Crisco. Yep, that's what makes Crisco so thrifty. You can fry with the same Crisco over and over again. Many more times than you can old-fashioned frying fat. Now, that's a double advantage these days, isn't it? When you're trying to stretch your frying shortening just as far as possible. And you know something? Even after you've used Crisco, time after time, fried foods turn out crisp and light, easy to digest. Well, shucks, take these corn fritters that have been sizzling on top of the stove. They're easy digesting, even for the youngsters. You see, pure all-vegetable Crisco is easy to digest. And don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor sometime. See what he has to say. Oh, golly, if you could only see how appetizing, how light and crisp these Crisco corn fritters are. You know, I bet you'd surprise the youngsters with them for supper tonight. I'm going to have one right now, if you don't mind. Boy. Oh, gone, they're good. And you know, with all these corn fritters they just fried here in the kitchen, there's not a bit of unpleasant smoke or smell around. Yep, Crisco's a joy to use, all right. Ask for it the next time you shop. Oh, and say, if you have any difficulty getting Crisco, don't blame your dealer. War conditions make it hard keeping every dealer supplied with Crisco all the time. So if your dealer runs out, just be patient. He'll have some more Crisco soon. And now back to Vic and Say.
Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her friend Dottie Brainfeeble. Dottie is seated on the davenport with a newspaper, and Sade is just entering from the kitchen.
Why, where'd Leland go?
He went up to his room, not to bed.
He said he guessed he'd sort over his socks.
Oh, my.
I tried to entertain him, Kettle.
Sure.
Told him some little funny trash that happened, but he didn't seem to be paying attention.
Uh-huh, I know.
He's lonesome. Lonesome as can be.
Yeah.
He didn't eat much supper.
No, nor dinner either this noon.
Misses his mother.
Uh-huh. Trouble is, he don't know how long she'll be away. If he knew she was going to be gone a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even a month, he'd have something to get his teeth into and be settled in his mind. But he don't know.
And then, of course, being in somebody else's house and all.
Yes. If he was a younger, littler boy, he could let loose and cry. But being 14, he feels like he has to keep himself cooped in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't mope in his bedroom all evening.
He said he guessed he'd go upstairs and sort over his socks.
Why don't I get him down here and the three of us play cards?
Oh, I can't play cards, Kevin. I'm fat.
What do you mean you're fat, Daddy?
Well, I'm fat in the head when it comes to cards. Can't tell one from the other. Exasperates Chuck so he could scream. I'm with cards just like I am with arithmetic. Oh, I can play old maidens and choke the pussycat and get off my foot Uncle Harry and silly little card games like that. But if it's something you have to figure out, I'm about as worthless as...
In the living room, Sadie.
Here's Uncle Fletcher.
Yes.
He'll pull Leland out of the doldrums.
Sadie?
Yes, Uncle Fletcher, we're in here.
Older than a horse outdoors. I like to throw to a lame brain seat. I wouldn't be one numbskull bit surprised if the thermometer was below zero.
Good evening, Mr. Rush.
Hello, Swatty.
How's everything in East St. Louis?
Oh,
what's all this between you two about East St. Louis?
I think I'll call Mr. Rush Professor East St. Louis.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hello, Professor East St. Louis.
Let me in on the joke.
There's no necklace joke. Spotty, I never open my trap about East St. Louis.
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh,
I'm glad you got past, Uncle Fletcher. Leland's upstairs in his bedroom, and he's just as blue can be.
Lonesome for his folks, I expect.
Yes. Of course, his mother's only been gone just the one day, but it's uncertainty about when she'll be back that's bothering Leland. And being 14 years old and all, he can't bear to show his feelings.
Sure.
I was saying to Dottie, I bet you could cheer the boy up a little.
I can't.
I'll call him down then, hmm?
Sure.
I bet I know where you got that collar, Mr. Rush.
Huh?
I bet I know where you got that collar.
Where?
Around your neck.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Neenan. Neenan.
Just a second, lady.
Oh, that was a good one.
It sure was.
Neenan. Neenan. Maybe he did go to bed.
Oh, surely not. 7 o'clock.
Yes, Miss Cook.
You busy with anything special?
Just sorting over my boxes, all.
Uncle Fletcher's here. Wouldn't you like to come down?
Yes.
Hello, Leland.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Hurry up down. I got a live hippopotamus in my pocket.
All right.
He's a very polite boy.
Yes, indeed. Of course, he's on his good behavior and all. I heard him wrangling with Rush and the kids out in the backyard when he didn't sound like any angel.
Are there any angels in East St. Louis, Mr. Ross?
Oh, Fender, woman, enough is enough.
I wish you two scalawags would let me in on your little joke.
When you going back to East St. Louis?
I've never been in East St. Louis. My whole life I've never been in East St. Louis.
Oh, look at him blush.
Oh, blush.
What's going
on?
Well, Leland.
I can hear you laughing a while ago, Mrs. Brain People, and I was way back in my clothes closet.
I laugh. I'm fat.
Sit down, Leland.
All right.
How'd it be to pop some popcorn after a while, Sadie?
Dandy. Do you like popcorn, Leland?
I wouldn't want to put anybody to any trouble.
Oh, bosh, trouble.
There was a man in Marion got a chunk of popcorn in his eye while he was driving his automobile and run into a telephone pole.
Who was this?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my.
Why would I know his name?
Never mind.
Well, how was school today, Leland?
Oh, pretty much the same old thing.
Teacher never had to flog you, did she?
No.
That's good.
A teacher started to whip my Uncle George once, and my Uncle George turned around and cleaned up on him.
Really?
Really?
My Uncle George was only 13 years old, a year younger than I am now. But he was over 6 feet tall and weighed 165 pounds. This happened in southern Missouri. A good many of my family come from southern Missouri.
Well, tell us a story.
Oh, it isn't much of a story. It's... teacher got mad at my uncle and grabbed him by the collar and took a couple of swipes at him with a stick. My uncle turned around and liked to mop up the floor with him.
Well,
it's much of a story, I guess.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Fletcher, maybe you can think of a story to tell.
I can.
All right.
Sadie, remember Emmett Slopsworth down Belvedere?
Belvedere isn't far from Dixon. No, it isn't.
Emmett Slopsworth.
Belvedere is north of Dixon.
Emmett Slopsworth left.
And it's west of Dixon. Yes, I think that's right.
Emmett Slopsworth
but
left.
But it's more north than west. Gee, I don't really remember.
Emmett
I remember
Slopsworth
because I was...
Thunderation, woman. Can I tell this or not?
I know something about East St. Louis.
They've got a little joke about East St. Louis between them.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine what it is.
Yeah.
Well, tell your story, Uncle Fletcher.
The heck with the lame brain, the half-wit numbskull story. Leland, how about a game of cards?
Yes, I suggested that to Dottie a while ago.
Oh, count me out on your cards. I can't play. I'm fat.
Yes.
I don't know the ace of spades from a shoe.
Yes.
Oh, Chuck wants to grab me by the throat and choke me. He gets so exasperated when we play cards.
Yes. Well, what do you play, Leland? Yanko?
Well, I can play...
three card smart? Split the apple? Dog on the roof?
Well, I can play...
stub the butcher's toe? Nutcracker? Bump?
I never heard...
Three Dallas? Jawbone hustle? Down by the yard?
Gee,
I got my shirt, punk, big snoot.
I don't think I...
oh, good games, lots of fun. We might try a hand of pink snooker. No, we can't play pink snooker because it takes 17 decks of cards. How about 10 high slump?
I never heard of it, Uncle Fletcher.
Very popular game in Crooked Indian National Park. Of course, to really enjoy 10 slump, you ought to be outdoors and have a dead horse.
Really?
It's best that way, but if you have to be in a house, you can get by with a fly swatter in place of the dead horse.
Gee whiz.
Oh, no, count me out of your card games. I can't play. I'm fat.
Maybe Neelan would like some rummy.
I know how to play that.
Well, fine. I'll get the card.
Oh, count me out. I'm fat.
You can count me out, too, Miss Cook.
Count you out, Leland? Why?
I'd just as soon watch.
Oh.
Now, hey, be a sport. Get in.
I'd rather watch.
Oh, that's no fair.
Besides, I'm going upstairs pretty soon.
Upstairs? Why, it's not even 7:30.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to pop popcorn pretty soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, count me out of your card games. I can't play. I'm fat.
We're not even talking about card games.
Oh, Dan.
Sure, we're going to pop popcorn pretty soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Leland, did I ever tell you about the time my friend Sam Quinks laughed, broke his elbow, winded his watch?
No.
Tell about it, Uncle Fletcher.
Well, sir, my friend Sam Quinkslap was born with bright blue eyes.
I wish I could wear blue.
They were as blue as marble.
Oh, got me out of your marble game.
They even look like marble.
Oh, I can't play marbles. I'm fast.
But for Pete's sake.
I bet you're going to tell me East St. Louis.
If I ever hear East St. Louis one more time, I'll bet
you my go ahead. Sorry, Uncle Fletcher. She's through joking. Now, Dottie, you stop.
Oh, grand.
Your friend broke his elbow winding his watch, Uncle Fletcher?
Yeah.
Well, tell about it.
Well, Sam Quinkslap was born with these bright blue eyes.
Dottie's not saying anything.
He was born with these bright blue eyes, and his father and mother and three brothers and seven sisters all decided they'd see if they couldn't make some money.
I believe I will go upstairs to my room.
Beg pardon, Leo?
Excuse me for interrupting, Uncle Fletcher.
Not at all.
Miss Cook, I believe I will go upstairs.
To stay, you mean?
If it's all right with everybody.
But why? Why?
Something's the matter. I don't know what it is, but something's the matter. Something's the matter.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And so we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen.
The 12-day trial for lovelier hands is now in session.
Whereas you, madam, if your hands look coarse and red, be it known, you're probably using a strong wash day soap for dishes. Ah, that criminal. Prosecute that strong soap. Give it up.
Win the case with Ivory Soap. Give Ivory a trial. A 12-day trial right in your dish pan. Ivory summons velvet suds, pure, gentle suds. Why, Ivory stands for purity. Ask Baby, Ivory's star witness.
Now, in just 12 days, your hands will testify.
They'll look softer, smoother, and whiter.
Ivory's fee, about a penny a day. Get three large-sized cakes. It's a saving of the third degree.
Say, how many jurors on a jury?
Why, 12.
One for each day that you're trying Ivory, friend.
That's right. Velvet suds, Ivory soap for dishes, lovelier hands in 12 days. You be the judge.
This program came to you from Chicago and New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.